Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, May 22nd. Man, May, the year is almost halfway over. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, as always to be found on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your heads. I am back with the guys this week, the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Got a little bit of story as far as all that goes, and a thank you to throw out. But before I do, I want to do what I do every week, introduce this cast of characters that we have on this podcast each and every week, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He is the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He is the king of the power naps, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel. Rob, sir, how are you?
Good to be back.
Good to have you as always. And the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling podcast, he is Bucky's tag team partner. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, the man with the bionic back that is destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, I stuck the landing on both the intros.
I'm so proud of you. You stuck the landing better than Tyrese Halliburton's shot. Stuck the net. That was okay. Beautiful,
you know,
man.
You know what? See, okay, now, uh-oh, because you said, okay, I want to borrow a quote from my father, one of his favorite things to say to people. You know what that is?
What's that?
Go fuck yourself.
So are the Knicks?
That was a beautiful basketball game last night, Rob.
Are the Knicks out?
No, this is game one.
Of game one, okay. But the Celtics are out, so I don't have to listen to that shit for a whole season,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
The Celtics are out.
Who's playing, Jason?
Oh, that's fine, but I just find it's funny. Like, oh, we like the sky is falling with the Boston Celtics because they were up 20 at home against an inferior team. And slowly but surely, they got their shit pushed in. It went to overtime, and what do you know, they lost. Well,
what the hell,
it ain't
like...
so funny when the rabbits got the gun, huh, Rob?
Oh, we'll see. No. Okay, see.
Yeah, but did they?
No, because I'm not trying to be like, oh, we're better or anything, but you're not now. Welcome to hell, Rob. I've been there, and welcome to hell, and I'm happy to have you.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, but Jason, sure. Did they drop 40 unanswered points?
No, it was the Pacers just slowly crawled back from, I think, what was the largest deficit, Rob? 17? I'm not trying to be a jerk.
I don't know. I'm trying to.
I believe the largest deficit was 17. Oh, well, you know what, Rob? We all know that doesn't work. You know, you can't forget about it until game two starts.
Jason is going to have the shoot bear hitting the bottle here pretty soon. It's getting ugly here tonight, folks. I take a week off,
but,
and this
I mean,
is what I come
that
back to.
That game had everything you could ever want. And seriously, I'm like, compliments to the Knicks because, like, yeah, they didn't gack it up or anything like that. Like, it's just the Pacers just all of a sudden started playing out of their freaking minds and nailing shots.
Okay.
And obviously, you know, Tyrese can feel however he feels about the shot going, like, oh, as soon as I knew it was going in. Brother, that thing went above the backboard and somehow miraculously swished back down through the net. So there was a little bit of basketball luck there. So I'm not even trying to – I'm sorry to put you through it again, but it's you can't sit there and be like, oh, your team got embarrassed or anything like that. Like, I won't hear that.
It's a fresh pile of shit, and Jason is just rubbing Rob's nose in it here tonight. This is awful.
I'm not, man. Because
that's exactly what you're doing.
I wish we had Jace on the pod because he's a Pacers fan, just to get an opposing viewpoint. But as unobjectively as I could, yes. Would I prefer the Knicks to lose because they knocked the Celtics out? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, I like Jalen Brunson. I like a lot of the guys on those teams. I like Josh Hart. Like, so I'm not trying to like rain on your parade, man. But truly, that was one of the best basketball games I have seen in recent memory, and easily the best of the playoffs this year.
For those of you without the benefit of video, Rob just gave Jason the thumbs up. Like, okay, you can shut up now. We're done with this segment. We are moving on. As I said, this is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We are going to talk a little bit of wrestling, but not immediately. I want to do a couple things first. First thing I want to do is send a shout out to the Chairshot Radio Network's own actual scientist, Dan DPP. Dan just set me up with some audio, and to give you a little bit of backstory here, we traditionally, for the last 3.5 years on this podcast, have recorded on Skype. As most of you who use Skype know, after, 20-something years, it went away this month. So we were without an audio platform, and with Skype, they'd allowed you to do the video call, and you could record the call. Skype, Microsoft moved everybody over to Teams. So we kept all our contacts. Yay, that's great. But we lost the ability to record under the free, you know, whatever, the free 99 version of what we're using. I'm sure if I want to pay for some upgraded version, I can record everything. Because we use Teams at work and they record town hall meetings through that. So I know it's possible. I just think we lack the capability to do that. A lot of the guys within the Chairshot Radio Network are using some backup recording applications to do their podcasts. And I've been trying to lock down some time because I am not tech savvy. I can figure this shit out to a certain degree. But if you start having to link programs and things like that, I just don't have that kind of knowledge or savvy. Dan is a tech guy. He's an IT guy. And we tried about a week or so ago before Jason and Rob recorded last week's episode. I sat down with Dan and he's like, yeah, I got some time. I'll walk you through everything. We'll set everything up on this application. Although my computer decided to screw me. And those of you who've been listening to us for a long period of time know that I've had problems with this computer almost as long as this podcast has been a thing. So my computer took forever, and then it froze up, and it kept freezing up. So I had Dan on Teams, and I mean, he's the patience of a saint. Like, I cannot put that over enough. So my computer made me reboot it. So I did a cold boot on the computer, and of course, it went through a Windows update, which now is burning more of Dan's time and more of my time. So it does that. So I go to install this program that these guys are using, this application, and it told me I had an older version of it, so I had to delete the older version before I could install the newer version. Well, when you delete the old version, it makes you go through an entire restart of the computer to make that take effect. So there's more time with my already slow-ass computer having to go through another startup cycle. Get in there, finally get it back up, install the new version, and it makes me do it again. I have to restart the computer again. So at this point, I've burned up like 40 to 45 minutes of Dan's time, and we really haven't done shit with this application as far as setup. Like, literally nothing. I'm at the point where I'm ready to put my fist through the mic, through the monitor. That's how I was like, fuck this thing. I'm just going to go to Best Buy and buy a laptop. This is the point I was at about a week ago. I was beside myself. So we start working on it, and then my computer was just freezing up and giving us all kinds of problems, and Dan ran out of time. So Jason and Rob had to go it on their own because I had no way of recording the audio. So I, again, going to continue to put Dan over, but I want to put my boys over for putting forth an episode last week. You guys did an awesome job, and I appreciate you as always for carrying the torch and keeping us consistent, which is something this podcast is very proud of. Consistent weekly content.
We might have had to use two tin cans, but yeah. You know what? The streak continues.
The streak continues, and we're going to keep it going, and I appreciate the hell out of you guys for that. To finish this up, Dan got on with me here probably about 15, 20 minutes before we went live. We got all the audio situations figured out, and we are set to bring you a new and improved Mindless Wrestling podcast as we get further into this and I get this more figured out. We're going to add some sound bites into the show, some little comedy nuggets, some music. I've got some really good ideas now that I have the capability of doing that, and I have our resident scientist, Dan DPP, to thank for that. And I cannot put that guy over enough. He's been so gracious with his time, and I appreciate the hell out of that. Dan, thank you for helping me and helping our audience by default. So it was just very, very awesome, and I'm glad to be back with you guys, not only talking to our audience, but talking to my friends. You know, we've mentioned this on this show before. This isn't just us doing a podcast. This is three guys getting together at the bar after work and just chatting. You know, it's as much therapeutic and cathartic for us as it is providing content and entertainment for you, the listener. So, you know, I'm glad to have that back because, you know, last week I was set to go. I had so much I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the last premium backlash. I wanted to talk about, there was so many things that I didn't get to talk about with you guys. And moving forward, we have an NXT show this weekend. We have Saturday Night's main event this weekend. And we're going to talk about some of that tonight. But Jason and Rob are going to take over most of that because I've been kind of out of the loop. Not only with the audio stuff, but this past weekend, we had Welcome to Rockville in Daytona. It's the annual Hard Rock Heavy Metal Music Festival. And I was there for all 4 days. So for the last 2 weeks, my brain has been entrenched in that. Like, just all of that. And, you know, I'll talk about that a little bit more. But before we get into that, you guys got anything leading into the show tonight?
Well, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Rob.
Well, to explain how we did it last week. So we talked on, we used Teams to talk. And I used the audio recording app on my phone that I use for my own stuff. I had to lean that up against my laptop so they could pick up Jason over the speaker.
Yeah, so that's why we sounded like, you know, we were using tin cans. So, thankfully, the Voltron is back together. The Black Lion DJ is, you know, well, maybe that's Rob, but the Black Lion DJ is finally back. He's keeping us together. Thank goodness. DJ, you're never allowed to leave again. I'm sorry, buddy.
Buddy.
It's over. No more vacation. No more PTO. It's all over. Next year, we'll talk in 2026.
This is probably a good time to tell you guys that I have one cruise booked at the end of the year, and I'm already booking another one about a month after that.
Well, look, you're going to have to carve out an hour on Thursday night during those cruises and do
the you're paying for the Wi-Fi, brother.
I can imagine the look on people's faces when I've got to find a spot on the highest deck in the ship just to do my podcast.
Breaking out a little miniature satellite dish.
I'm going to look like Inspector Gadget.
I need to ask you very quickly. Obviously, you didn't get to talk Backlash, and I'm not going to make you do the whole card, but Jeff Cobb, a.k.a. JC Mateo, talk to me.
Dude, I honestly, I don't know how much to say because I don't know a lot about the guy. I've only recently been introduced to him. He looks like a Haas.
Oh, okay.
It looks like, you know, obviously went straight to the main roster, but he's also, what, 40 now, 41?
Yeah.
So you're not sending that guy to NXT. We don't have enough time for him to go down to NXT, figure it out. He's going to have to learn on the job. Which I think he can do. It's doable. There's been plenty of people that they brought right up to the main roster. And
he's worked everywhere except WWE.
Right. So
like he's shown up in AEW. He's shown up at all everywhere. Right. So he's good.
What I did like about the reveal was the look on Jacob's face. Like, what are we doing here? All of a sudden, Jacob realizes he's fallen a little bit down on Solo's importance ladder. And I like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes. So even though I don't know a whole lot about the kid, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with this. I'm excited for it.
So I quick shout out to Solo, man, because he is playing this character. He is just taking this ball and running with it. And his previous character experience was basically stand there and look tough. Like, yeah. And he's clearly learned, like, right from the feet of Roman. You can tell from the mannerisms, the way he talks. But it's just, he plays the tribal chief. Like, he literally plays the punk-ass tribal chief.
Yeah, and he's tribal chief perfect. Understudy, and you can tell.
Exactly, but it's very, like, it's not non-threatening either. I think he gets himself underwater a lot, and he, you know, in the words of Stinger, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash, but he plays that part well too. So, like, it's part, man, I just, shout out Solo, man.
Yeah, it's doing incredible work, and I think we're in for some really good programming. Rob, you got anything before I get into just a little bit of Rockville talk?
No, I read it.
Yeah, so, yeah, my girlfriend and I, and to a slightly lesser degree, her mother, went to all 4 days of Rockville, and the biggest news this year was the heat. I mean, the bands were amazing, the lineup was killer, we had a lot of good times, but we got hit with this unexpected, like, record-breaking heat.
DJ, yes, sir. Sorry, really quickly, just for the folks who don't know, like, who runs Rockville? Where is it?
Welcome to Rockville is, it's a hard rock and heavy metal festival run by Danny Wimmer Presents Promotions. He runs several festivals throughout the country. He runs Louder Than Life, Incarceration, Welcome to Rockville. There's another one out west where Dave is, and then he does Bourbon and Beyond. There's like 5 major rock, music festivals, most of them hard rock and metal. Bourbon and Beyond is a bit more blues-ish and, you know, lighter rock and fair, things like that. But yeah, it's held at the Daytona International Speedway. It has for the last 5 years. Incredible, just 4 days of hard rock, heavy metal, over 140 bands this year. We got to see probably close to 40 of them over 4 days. The headliners this year were Thursday night was Shinedown, Friday night was Green Day, Saturday night was Linkin Park, and Sunday night was closed out by Korn. Just incredible. And if hard rock and heavy metal is your thing, I love festivals. And I love festivals mainly because, one, you get to go run around and see a bunch of different bands. And for me, it's the best value for your dollar. You know, I won't get into exactly how much the tickets were, but we saw, like I said, close to 40 bands, and for what we paid, when you break that up, we ended up paying like $13 a band when you break it all down. And you know, your average concert to go see one band with maybe 2 or 3 opening acts is $100 a person conservatively. You know, if you're just seeing, depending on who you're seeing, if you're going to see AC/DC, you're dropping almost $1,000. Because I talked to a guy who did that. You know, he went with his granddaughter, and they dropped almost $1,000 to see AC/DC. So yeah, it can get real expensive. But for the festivals, and yeah, it's busy. You're running around. You're going crazy. You're trying to get from one stage to the other. If you've never been in the Daytona International Speedway, it's massive. It's this mammoth structure. And the two main stages are on opposite ends of the track. So, because everything's set up on the infield on the grass, and there's a few things set up on the actual track itself, but there's 5 stages. The 2 main ones are at opposite ends, and, you know, you could have, you know, one band playing at 7:30 on one end, and then your next band you want to see is at 8:15 at the other end, and then the next band you want to see is at 9:45 at the other end, so you're literally running back and forth all day. So it wears you out. Like I was talking a minute ago about the heat wave, it was hot. My God, it was hot.
Quick question.
Yeah.
So Rockville is not like the name of the town. It's
no, that's the name of the festival itself.
Okay.
It's called Welcome to Rockville.
Just at one of the most sacred sites in all of motorsports. I'm not jealous. It's fine.
because REM is a song called Don't Go Back to Rockville, but that's like Rockville, Georgia, and there's a Rockville, Maryland up here.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if it was like if that was the name of the town or
no, it's just the name of the festival. It's Welcome to Rockville. Like I said, there's Welcome to Rockville, there's Incarceration, there's Louder Than Life, and Louder Than Life is up there near Jace. It's actually, I think he literally says he can drive to it in like a half an hour or something like that. And then the one out on the West Coast in California is the one that's falling out of my head right now. But it's all pretty much the same thing. Hard rock, heavy metal, and...
Because Ozfest used to come around here.
It's a similar type of thing as Ozfest. Just think 4 days worth of Ozfest.
Okay, yeah, because they used to come around here. I don't know if Ozzy's still doing that or not, but Ozfest used to come around here every year.
Now, interestingly enough, Ozzy is set to do one last concert with Black Sabbath. I wish I could go. My God, the lineup is incredible. I'd have to pull it up, but I can name a couple of the bands. I know he's playing one last time with Black Sabbath. Metallica's playing. Hailstorm's playing. I think Judas Priest... there's some major bands playing this thing. It's over in their hometown in England. I want to say it's Liverpool, but I don't think that's right. But it's wherever they're from. They're playing one huge festival day, and then I think that's it for Ozzy, because I think finally Ozzy's health is catching up with him.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so you're not going to get anywhere. I don't think they've done an Ozfest in probably 10 years, as far as I know. So... I'm going to talk a bit more in depth about that on the Musical Chairs episode brought to you by the Chair Shot Radio Network. Regular host Patrick O'Dowd has graciously handed myself and my girlfriend the reins. We're going to record that episode probably tomorrow night. We'll give a much more in-depth take on Rockville, the bands, the food, the vibe, the energy, everything. We're going to talk about that. And I did do a brief synopsis with our friend EJ from the Earnestly Speaking podcast. I expect that to drop here in the next day or so. But that's all I'm going to talk about that. This is, again, as I said at the beginning, a wrestling podcast. We're going to talk a little bit of wrestling. We got some NXT. We got some main roster stuff coming up this weekend. Tampa, man, of course everything was in Tampa this weekend. We've got SmackDown coming from Tampa. Saturday night's main event's in Tampa. NXT, what's Battleground is in Tampa, and I think Raw is in Tampa. I think it's like 4 days of WWE stuff in Tampa, which is 3 hours away, and I'm going to be out of town doing stuff for the holiday. So let's kick this over to Jason, like we always do. We're not going to go through the whole card for Battleground, but I do think we should probably kick around a couple of key matches. Jason and Rob are probably going to be largely dominating this section of the show, because I'm a bit out of the loop with the wrestlings, but... Jason, I'm going to kick it over to you and let you take over. Battleground is yours.
Well, maybe we will go all the way through the card, but I did want to highlight that Oba, Femi, and Miles Bourne are going to fight for the NXT title. And just Miles Bourne is like firing on all cylinders right now. That guy is just crushing everything that they ask him to do. His matches are awesome. His promos are incredible. Like, I just because of, you know, the meta of it, like, and me watching this like an analytical dork who watches it too much, I don't think Miles has much of a chance. But in the story, yeah, and if they did pull the trigger, I would be like, okay. So, yeah, I just wanted to, I mean, I don't know, Rob, did you have any highlight of Battleground you want to talk about, or Oba and Miles, whatever you want?
I think, yeah, I'm sure that'll be really good. I might be watching the Root Beer Show Sunday, because that's what Double or Nothing is Sunday.
Man.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Well,
you know what? I mean, they're going to overlap a little bit, but.
Yeah. So they are having Jordynne Grace and Stephanie Vaquer, for the title. It wouldn't surprise me if they ended up being like, I don't know, if somebody ended up running in and calling it to not have a finish. That wouldn't surprise me there. Other than that,
I mean, just very quickly, we have Joe Hendry is.
Oh, and Joe Hendry Williams, that should be good. Yeah,
for the TNA title.
That should be good. And okay, if you are TNA and if you are willing to take the risk of, you know, having your doing a title change, I know, but
no.
Yeah, I don't think. That's the hook to watch the match though, to see if they're.
Yeah, but you gotta have a. I don't know. At this point, I would want a hostage. Like, I would already want one of my guys to have won your title. Like, I don't care whose show we do it on. You can pick. But, like, I'd seriously want to have a hostage at this point. Because I'd be so, like, no. I don't know.
We're still shell-shocked from the AEW TNA screw job.
And I bet they are, too.
I'm sure they are.
No, I can't imagine. I bet at least half the people who make decisions are like, if they're still the people who are from that era, they're just like dreading every decision and like watching every show and like just be like, wait, when's the bottom going to fall?
There's a lot of hand-wringing going on. Because let's give
them both credit. Like, so far, so good with this relationship. I don't think anyone has been okey-doked or embarrassed or if, like, people lose on other people's shows, and that makes sense. And, like, you might lose a home game, and that's okay. Like, because there's always some sort of turnaround. So it's been working awesome. So I don't, like, maybe they have built the trust for a title change. Like, hey, we'll lose it. You lose it on this show, and then we'll win it back on our show. Like, maybe, but I would be definitely gun-shy if I was a decision maker there. But I'm not wrestling. Come on.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
I've said this in our chair shot chat. I've said it a million times. I would never have my world champion lose the title to the other company. I don't give a damn who the person is. And I've even said, look, if Hunter sends Roman Reigns over, Roman Reigns is taking an L. Okay. Okay. If I were the other company, I don't care who it is, right? But it'll be interesting to see, you know, because, I mean, Trick Williams is a big enough deal that if you want to do him win it here and then lose it back, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, it wouldn't be totally embarrassing as long as Joe Hendry won the title back. If I were TNA, I would not do that.
So you don't want to see Trick Williams drop the TNA World Heavyweight Championship to Ethan Page.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't want that type of bullshit.
I look at this match very much like I looked at the matches with Dusty Rhodes and Superstar Billy Graham. I don't think anybody's winning this one. When Dusty was the NWA World Champ and Billy Graham was the WWF Champion, I think at the time. And they had the big match there at Madison Square Garden. You remember, they had one regular match, and then didn't they have was it a bull rope match or a strap match or something, Rob? Or was it a cage match?
Which one was this now?
Superstar Billy Graham and Dusty.
Oh, it was, I think it was a bull rope match.
Yeah. I think it was a bull rope match, and nobody really won either one of those matches. Like, the first one was like a DQ, and then the next one had some kind of wacky finish, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And I think you can do that here and still get both guys over, but man, that'd be a hell of a thing if they did a title swap here.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I get it. I understand where you're coming from, but it wouldn't at this point in the game. If there's a long term story behind it, I could see a situation where TNA would be like, "All right, as long as you don't do us dirty, we'll go with it."
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else? We have Stax and Tony. We have Sol Ruka and Kalani Jordan for the NXT North American title. I mean, that should be a lot of fun, if nothing else.
Yeah. That one should be fun.
Those girls are going to show out. So.
Yeah, that should be a fun match. And but I'm not expecting like a title change or anything there.
No, I mean it wouldn't be offensive. Sol's awesome.
Realistically, I don't see any of the titles changing hands except for there's an outside possibility that Oba could lose.
They've certainly, like I said, they've got Miles there. in my opinion. Like, yeah. Just with the promos, with the story they've been telling, like, they've got him there where it wouldn't be crazy.
I mean, he's practically Randy Orton Jr.
It would definitely be like, wow, he slayed the dragon moment, but it wouldn't be insane. Sorry, Rob, go ahead.
Oh, that's the only thing is at this point, I mean, Oba's already, he won and lost the North American title already. If I think we're kind of at the point with him, if he's, when he's dropping, he shouldn't drop the belt until it's time to go.
Yeah.
I think at this point,
I'm curious because right now, so you know, on the way out. We talk, I look
drop
at him
and then do one more exit program. Sorry, did you go ahead?
No, it's all good. I'm looking at Oba and Trick, and these are two guys who are literally toes in the water with the main roster. Like, these are two guys you could bring up tomorrow, but then we always ask the question, and do what? I think if you're trying to build the NXT, as and Triple H has always wanted NXT to be the third brand. He understanding that it's still developmental. He wants NXT to be the third brand, which is why we're getting all this cross-pollination. We've had Roxanne go back and forth from the main roster to NXT, and we've had Bayley come down and all the other main roster stars. Like, he's been trying to elevate that brand to a different status. If you do that, Trick and Oba are your major players on the men's side. And so I feel like you're probably going to leave those guys down there for the foreseeable future, because those are both main event players, and right now the line to the main event on the main roster is way too deep. Braun Breaker is next to the next in line. I still believe Carmelo Hayes has a path to that. The path has been wonky. The path has been questionable, but I still believe he has a path there. And you've still got Cody and Roman and Seth and Punk and Drew and Jay and Sammy. If he ever comes back, Kevin Owens. My God, you could slot Randy Orton in there at any given moment. AJ Styles is a main eventer any day of the week. So the line to that is rather deep. Do you bring those guys up to the main roster just to have them play in the mid-card title area for potentially 2 to 3 years? Or do you leave them down in NXT and let them be the money makers for that brand until the next one of them steps up? You know what I'm saying?
You split the difference, certainly. You don't, like, you don't brush them. I have no plans for those guys to move up anytime soon, I would think. And even if that means, like, knocking them a little bit down the card and making Oba the penultimate penultimate card, or whatever, second to last on the card. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've done that before with guys, so it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Because honestly, it's better for them to have something to do, like, instead of rotting. No, we don't want that.
Yeah. Oh man, because here's the thing: like, Trick is—he's very rapidly reaching that point of there's really nothing else for him to do down there.
Yeah, but he's a two-time NXT champion.
They're different than him and Oba.
Yeah, I mean, because Oba, here's the thing: like, Oba's matches still aren't main eventing, so there's something that hasn't, you know, gotten all the way there for him. You know what I mean?
No, I got you. He's probably about where Braun Breaker was when everybody was originally saying send him up to the main roster, and the Mindless Wrestling Podcast collectively said no, keep him in NXT for another year, and it worked wonders for that guy. I think that's where we're at with Oba.
Yeah, so
let him cook.
Yeah, and that's because, like, so... his men's NXT champion, if he's defending the title, main events, the takeover shows, and, you know, for good or ill, you know,
give Miles his moment, and then Oba can be Goro. There you go.
So I think Oba should definitely need to stay down there. Until he's somebody that they feel comfortable having actually finished the shows, you know, then obviously they feel like there's something that isn't all the way there.
Also, he should get a crack. I mean, he should get a longer run doing something else that's not the Rula, because you're not always going to be the Rula on the main roster.
Yeah. As far as, like, Trick is, well, like I said, Trick's almost out of stuff to do down there. But at the same time, you know, he is, they're on network TV now, and he is the main character of the television show. And so that does kind of matter. And until they have somebody else who can be the main character of the television show, then they do kind of need to keep him down there.
Well, let's frame it a little differently here, because part of the allure with going to the main roster, obviously for this talent, is the money. You know, you're going to make more money on the main roster than you are on the developmental brand, as it were. Do you think there's a situation where they say, okay, we want to keep Trick down here, but let's give him a pay raise?
Because, I mean, they've done that before. They've had people down there who they paid maybe not exactly main roster money, but more than the regular NXT money.
Right.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do that with somebody down there now, then you definitely do that with him. Yeah, for sure. And
Also, Rob, I think there is a main character in waiting. I don't know if it's going to be soon. It could be with this guy. Ricky Saints.
Oh, well, yeah, and I was thinking that.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, he is the guy. Yeah, he's definitely somebody you can do that with. I think it's just a matter of, you know, they have to, you know, he has to have some type of ascension story, you know.
How is that working for him? Because I am out of the loop on NXT. I haven't watched in quite a while. I've seen a little bit of Ricky Saints. Is that catching on with the crowd?
Oh, yeah.
He's over.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's a made man.
Yeah, and just
which is what I'm saying. Like, and we obviously love Ricky, you know, and his everything he brings to the table. So yeah, he could be the main character of NXT, no problem.
Yeah. So if they feel like, you know, he's there from, it's once they feel good with him taking over, then I think he will. But we do have, you know, then if when you bring Trick up to the main roster, there's the now what question, because. I mean, if I had to pick something right now, I mean, Seth needs another guy. Him and Braun are outnumbered. I mean, you know, at some point, you know, the people they're fighting are going to figure it out that, hey, there's more of us than there are of them. And they're going to need some more guys. So if I had to pick something right now for to do a Trick, I would put in with Seth and Braun. I mean, and that would put him in a high place on the card. Start with, he wouldn't stop.
I'm just sorry. I'm just picturing Trick playing the more silent or quiet business, like, you know, he's still going to be talk, obviously, but I'm just imagining
that'd be the
Trick
only thing
in that mold. I'm in. Like all black suits and shit like that. Like, oh yeah,
Trick's really good on the mic.
Paul would have Trick looking good.
Yeah.
So.
And look, he would get to rub elbows immediately with, you know, Roman and Seth and Punk and Sammy and, you know, and eventually Jay and Jimmy probably.
Him and Braun, like that's a cool dynamic.
Yeah. So I think
you did it, Robbie. Now I want it to happen, and when it doesn't, I'm going to blame you.
but yeah, I mean, if you want, I mean, if you want something for him to do immediately, I mean, that's a thing where there's actually a need for him to be plugged in.
Yeah.
And look, Bron is honorary Oops now. He's riding with Jay and working out with him. So
yeah,
Bron is honorary Oops now already. So
yeah, he's working his way into the family.
You could take Trick and do something similar to what you did with Batista back in the Evolution days, like slowly work him in and slow. Like they didn't just like thrust Batista in and make him this huge deal like immediately. There was like a slow burn with Batista, and I think Trick is young enough. He's what, 27?
Something like that.
So Trick's young enough that you can do that. You've got easily 15 years of Trick Williams on your roster. And that's the thing that like a lot of people forget. You know, these people hit the main roster like, oh, world title immediately, world title immediately. I'm like, he's 25 years old. She's 23 years old. You like take Roxanne. They could potentially have Roxanne for 20 years before she retires. That's 20 years. I don't expect to live another 20 years. You know, Roxanne's Roxanne's wrestling career will probably outlive me at this point. So there's plenty of time for these people to get to that point. As long as their main stays on TV, they're fine. And Trick Williams is a guy you can put on TV every week, and it's going to be fine. And in 3 years, if he's in the main event scene, Cody will have laid back a little bit. Roman's gone in 3 years. Like, we're having a once a year, maybe, discussion about Roman Reigns in 3 years.
Don't you say that!
Jason, we got to rip the Band-Aid off, Bubba.
Sorry.
Hollywood's calling, my friend.
I mean,
you're going to be a Street Fighter with Jason Momoa. He's probably going to play Akuma, and we're never going to see him again.
Yep. Street Fighter's calling, and
hold on. If it follows, I mean, remember, he's still wrestler guy in a movie, so, I mean.
Akuma doesn't fucking talk!
Well, there you go. I mean, so he's still wrestler guy in a movie.
So he's either going to be
like
John
the main bad guy devil man, like, and he growls a couple of lines. Roman can do that no problem now.
What Rob's saying he's either going to be John Cena or he's going to be Nathan Jones.
Yeah, and so look, just again, you know, we talk about this in our chat. When wrestler guy or wrestler girl does a movie, you always set the bar low. Okay.
Yeah, we don't have high. I don't have.
I've honestly, I think the time's running out because I think you can tell he's winding down, guys. Like maybe he works like a couple of I don't know how many more years on this part-time schedule, but I don't know. You get the feeling, you know?
Yeah, that he's setting it up. He's right. Setting the table for the next group of guys right now.
Yeah, and you know what?
But no, I mean, I will believe the Hollywood thing when I see it.
Yeah, just like I said, always. And just
looking forward to Street Fighter, though. Seriously, like Akuma and Ryu, it would be funny if they were Akuma and Ryu. Him and Momoa, but anyway, it's going to be a good movie because the guys making it are going to make it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, but always with wrestlers and movies, always set the bar low.
He's going to Superman punch somebody, and I'm going to pop to the moon.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything last? We got Saturday night's main event. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, shoot, we do have that.
Yeah, we do.
Holy shit!
I think. Well, I'm looking forward to the cage match with Priest and Drew. I think that's going to be really good.
Yeah, those guys just tear the house down. They're so good.
I'm just gotta look at the card real fast because I forgot that this Saturday, isn't it?
We are loaded with wrestling this weekend. Not even just WWE. AEW's got their show this weekend.
Yeah, they got double or nothing.
Yep, double or nothing this weekend.
You're getting it. We'll probably end up getting it, and I'll be flipping.
I'll be looking forward to a
double or nothing.
Well, they're doing the Anarchy in the Arena, and this time it's going to be co-ed.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah.
R-Truth and John Cena. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Sorry, J-Rob. Go ahead with double or nothing.
They're doing the Anarchy in the Arena. Basically, we have like two teams, and they fight all over the building, and they do all types of wacky stuff. And like last year, somebody got lit on fire.
Oh, is that the one where Darby brought out the blowtorch or some shit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that was about, yeah. I mean, he, I know what you're talking about.
He lit one of the Bucks on fire, and
he'll do something stupid at this one, I'm sure.
Yeah. So this one, this was co-ed. It's on one team. You have the Death Riders, Moxley, Claudio, Wheeler Yuta, the Bucks, and Marina Shafir. And on the other team, you have Kenny Omega, Swerve, Samoa Joe, Powerhouse Hobbs, Shibata, when he has the brain back in his head for the show.
You gotta take it out of the formaldehyde jar.
So that's
a team of like all-star people. I
was just sitting there thinking about that, man. That's a boss team right there.
Yeah.
That's just people
I give a
that,
shit
like,
about the generators.
Sure. Like, if you told me any one of them they were being strapped up as the world champ or the women's champ or whatever tomorrow, I'd be like, sure, do it.
Yeah, that's I love a those boss people. Team right there, man.
And by the way, congratulations to Willow. She has a new contract. She resigned, so she is sticking around.
Okay, good for her. Good for her. Pay her what she's worth. The money's good.
Go for it, man. Get paid.
And what else is going on with
I hope she at least took a phone call though.
Yeah, hopefully.
I think from the way
things sounded, Tony didn't waste any. He didn't fuck around. You know.
Well, good, hey, yeah, honestly, good on him.
Yeah, well, and that is good on him because we've put her over on this show before. Willow is additive value to your roster.
Yeah,
she really is. Yeah.
She brings every segment up a full letter grade. Everything yeah. she's involved in, full letter grade up. Even if it still stinks, like
her part didn't.
Yeah,
exactly. She's yeah. just wonderful.
And
she's a red fair nerd.
We may witness a shoot murder in the tag team title match. Bobby and Shelton are going against Dustin and Sammy Guevara.
This is the burial of Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, everybody. This is murder on the left.
It's only taken us 5 years, but we're finally here.
Yeah.
And yep, we wasn't going to bleed, so we don't
talk yeah, about. Obviously.
Oh, God bless Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah, I won't go through all those, but it should be a good show. There's some other matches, you know. Mercedes is going against Jamie Hayter. That should be good. Osprey is going against Hangman Page. That should be that's going to be your 5-star Dave Meltzer, whatever.
Oh, he's already given it 6 stars. Oh, I'm yeah. sure. They yeah. haven't taken the first bump, and he's already given it 6 stars.
Yeah,
those boys, they're kicking out of everything.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can probably you can have an over under on kickouts in that match, you know.
Yeah, like finisher kickouts.
Yeah. God bless.
Well, yeah, I mean, that should be good. And hopefully it'll be over before midnight.
Yeah.
How many matches?
Just 8.
Wow, that's like show. A part-time night and, for yeah. them.
So as long as, well, I think that tag team title match probably won't be too long.
No. It'll either be 15 minutes or 35.
Because don't forget, MJF is officially in the Hurt Syndicate now, so I'm sure he'll interfere or something like that.
Speaking of shoot murder, I hope they beat the crap out of him.
Oh, you know that's where it's going. Either they're going to beat the shit out of him at some point, or he has some goons that he's bringing in.
Yeah,
to fight with him.
I think it's cool that.
Yeah, it's not going to be a friendly partnership for forever, of course.
Yeah,
right.
All right, guys, do we have anything else before we take a quick commercial?
No. Separate.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we do that? Why don't we take a quick commercial break? Before we do, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including the one you're listening to in your ear holes right this moment, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We've got a t-shirt there. Summer's coming. I know you've been working out. You want to show off the guns. It's gun season. We have them in soft style. We have tank tops. We have them in multiple colors. Go check out a t-shirt. That is ProWrestlingTees.com. Pick one up. The starving artists on this show will thank you. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. We're going to get out of here. When we come back, we got a little game we're going to play that Rob came up with.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back in the closing minutes of this show. We wanted to do something a little bit different since most of us are a little bit out of the loop in most things wrestling. Rob had an idea, and I'm going to kick this over to him. He was piggybacking off of the fact that I went to Welcome to Rockville this weekend, and he had a little idea, and he shared that with me and Jason. I'm going to let him take over now and explain the parameters of what we're about to do here. Rob, the floor is yours.
Okay, so that just, you know, thought of this wacky idea this afternoon since, you know, DJ went to the Welcome to Rockville, and we were thinking, we were trying to think of stuff to talk about, and because we really here, we really don't like to regurgitate the same five topics that every wrestling podcast does every week, because every seems like every wrestling podcast, there's what happened on Raw, what happened on SmackDown, what happened on NXT, what are the dirt sheets talking about, what's going to happen on the pay-per-view, what did happen on the last pay-per-view. You know, some, you know, most wrestling podcasts, it seems nowadays, are just kind of rinse and repeat and rinse and repeat. And which is why I hardly ever listen to any wrestling podcasts other than our own nowadays. You know, unless somebody has a guest on and does like an interview or something. And so, you know, we were, you know, and it just kind of popped in my head since, you know, and it's because, you know, rock bands have different roles and, you know, and, you know, wrestlers have different type of characters, and DJ just went to a rock festival. So I just thought it'd be fun. We'll see how fun it is, but we thought that would be interesting to give our thoughts on like what role in a band certain, you know, a certain wrestler would, we think would play if they were in a band. So I'm going to got about a dozen names here. And of course, then the, you know, in the rock band is usually there's a lead singer, there's a lead guitarist, there's a bass player, there's a drummer. Some bands have other people, like some bands might have a guy on the keyboards or something, or playing a horn or something, you know. But I just thought it'd be interesting to do.
Yeah, okay. Just Rob, you got your list.
What can we see them, basically, what can we see them doing in a band, or are we building a band?
What will we see them doing? Based on how we see them on TV, what would we do if they were a band? What role do we think they would play in a band? The character, not, you know, not the
Yeah,
not the person.
Okay.
Okay.
Let it rip.
Okay, so I'll start out with our tribal chief, Roman Reigns. What do you all think he would be?
Jason, go ahead.
I could see him as like the drummer. Because you're kind of in charge, you know, depending on how your band's configured, but you're in charge of the beat, so you're pretty darn important. You're the thing that brings it all together. You're the black lion. And, you know, I could just see him, like, kind of soaking up that role. You know, just being the badass drummer. I mean, he could be the badass anything, but, yeah, drummer. Roman Reigns be the drummer in like a rock band.
Yeah, I can see that because Roman, a lot of drummers, you know, you don't automatically think of the drummer as being the most flamboyant. When you think of flamboyance, you think of frontmen like David Lee Roth, or, you know, like a guitarist, you think of an Eddie Van Halen or something like that. And Roman is much more reserved in his charisma. So I could definitely see him as like a Neil Peart type of drummer.
You know what else it is? With drummers and Roman Reigns, Control.
Yeah, and you're the ring general of the song. Like,
yeah,
the percussion keeps the whole thing together. Yeah,
I think that definitely would drummer definitely, but I also think he could be the lead guitarist because I could definitely see him going on a self-indulgent 10-minute guitar solo.
Yeah, he's not sliding across the arena, like the stage, on his knees or anything like that. But at one point, he walks to the middle of the stage, the spotlight goes on him, and he just rips for 10 minutes.
I could see him being a Slash type of guitarist, because Slash does move around a little bit on the stage, but he's not like an Angus Young. You know, Angus Young is the show, and the spotlight is on him. Slash, the spotlight is on him when he's doing the solo, or when he's doing a Slash part of the song. So, yeah, Rob, I agree with that.
like that.
Okay. So now let's. This one I think would be pretty obvious. Roman's former teammate Seth Rollins.
Seth's the lead singer of a metal band.
I mean, that's an easy one, bro.
The end.
I mean, he is the. No, he is David Lee Roth-esque. No,
he is. Exactly.
He like, is very much David Lee Roth.
Like, I mean, I love... fun fact, his original theme, like, post-Shield theme, The Second Coming, my wife and I came out to that at our wedding when we were announced as Mr. and Mrs. at our reception.
That is something Tito will never allow. The
rock vibe of Seth Rollins is forever very, very, very close to my heart because I was, you know, introduced with my bride throwing up the horns with a WWE championship over my shoulder, by the way. So
Tito will never the allow that. Championship. It just won't happen.
But yeah, I think he'd definitely be the lead singer.
No argument there.
Yeah. Okay, and so moving along, I'll go to one of Roman's family members, Jacob Fatu. I got him on the drums, and I got him being like Tom.
Animal. Animal, like the Muppet.
Yeah. Yes. Or Tom Lee in the rotating drum kit spinning all around on stage and just. Hammering away at the drums on the whole show.
I have a different take. And go ahead, Jason, and then I'll go.
It might be too, like, I don't know, cliche, but I could see him as like the singer who raps or just talks half the time. Like the I could totally see that. Just I mean, obviously his vibe and everything and the way he talks and stuff, but like, yeah.
I see.
Especially with that presence, like with the you know his size and the hair and everything, like yeah, that like that the power that conveys. Sign me up.
I see him as a bass player, and when I think bass player, and I think immediately Robert Trujillo, who is formerly of Suicidal Tendencies and is now currently playing with Metallica. He's been with Metallica now for probably close to 20 years. He has a very manic, very energetic, monstrous presence on stage. Like, the dude is a monster on stage. He's not like a super, super big guy, but just the way he emotes on stage and the way he's got this gimmick that he just gets in and he's just frenetic energy. And that's what I see when I see Jacob. I see a Robert Trujillo bass player.
Okay, I mean, because I guess... Or kind of like Flea, maybe. That's what I'm familiar with Flea.
I'll send you guys video. If I can find video of Robert Trujillo playing, maybe you'll see what I'm saying. And anybody listening who knows what I'm talking about, they may agree with me. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, because like Flea is definitely more energetic kind of bass player. He's not the cool, laid-back bass player type of dude. Man.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to somebody else here, and that would be let's go to the women's side of the roster, and Bianca Belair. What do you think she would be doing in a band?
Bianca's a singer.
Whatever it is, it's the, like the lead. I don't know.
I guess it'd be like a horn player.
Yeah, because I mean, that's her half of her entrances. Yeah, and you know, the whole drumline thing and all that.
I see saxophone. Yeah. If she's a horn player,
also another drummer.
She's a sax player. Because I think of Grace Jones, and Grace Jones was a sax player. And it's sax is very sexy. Sax playing can be very sexy.
I see her more of a trumpet.
Okay.
That's just because of her entrances and stuff, the band entrances she has. But yeah, like a trumpet player.
So we all agree it would definitely be some type of brass instrument.
Some,
kind
some
of thing.
Type of brass instrument. I'm thinking saxophone.
Brass or percussion. Because if you said drummer, I'd be like, okay. So.
Okay, next, our 14-time women's champion. I think she would be a guitar player, and because she wants a certain amount of spotlight, and she I think she would definitely be a guitar player.
But I just and again, maybe I'm being cliche here, but Nina Strauss, like just that kind of badass
just
energy.
Chaos. God, Nita's so good. I'm so glad I got to see her live.
Oh. That's awesome. Oh, yeah, what pay-per-view was that? She did somebody.
She played Shinsuke in 34.
Yes.
Yeah.
She did. Yeah, and that was awesome to be live there for. That was incredible.
Hey, unrelated, did you see the little video of Meiko Satomura passing down one of her kicks to Shinsuke? I saw a quick video. Shinsuke was in the ring, and he thanked her for passing down one of her moves. To him, it sounds like he's going to start using it whenever he, comes back.
That's awesome.
I just thought it was a neat little nugget. You mentioned Shinsuke and it popped in my head.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, who else we got?
Okay. Okay, actually, I'm thinking of these as I go along here. So I'm sorry, I should have written out a whole list. Did not. That is my fault. All right. So, what about Braun Strowman?
Oof.
That's a good one, DJ. What do you think? You're the band. You're the rock guy.
Braun Strowman's
we're
a drummer. He's a drummer.
Metal territory.
Braun Strowman's a drummer. This is a dude that just likes to beat things up, and you can beat up a drum set.
I think he's the... I mean, I don't know if he's ever tried it, but he's got a hell of a voice, and if he could harness the screamo thing or even like a guttural sort of thing, he could be a singer of like a rock band or a metal band, but, it would... if that dude could sing. I mean, we've heard him sing, quote-unquote, get these hands, but when he and Elias were feuding, God bless, that was amazing. But, yeah, I could see him as the lead singer or some sort of singer.
Okay, and I think drums definitely – oh, I remember when he did a feud with Elias, he had like a – at one point – he did like a bit with like, was it like a giant size stand up bass, I think.
Oh, yeah, he had a stand up bass. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yes.
I can see Braun Strowman in a doo wop 50s band playing stand up bass.
Perfection. That actually is the correct answer. Stand up double bass. How did we not get to that sooner? I'm ashamed of us. Rob,
with Michael Cole singing Lean on Me or something like that.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Oh. No, because I'm picturing like the jazz doo-wop kind of thing, like the stuff we saw in like Disney cartoons, like the shibbity bum bum doo doo. Well, it's like boom 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 boom.
Ron doing kind of bass. That would be just hilarious.
Yeah, that would be amazing, dude.
That would be excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, more of a doo-wop kind of thing. That would be incredible.
And let's do one more, so let's throw a little curveball here. Asuka.
Ooh.
She is a metalhead.
Asuka's a lead singer, man.
Asuka's a guitar player, lead guitar and singer. No, she's lead guitar and singer. Like, she's the one of the,
yes,
she does it both.
She's a James Hetfield type.
Yeah, like, she's, that's the energy, Yeah, I think we agree on there. Any other ideas?
No. So I think that's that's all I got. So.
All right. Well, guys, we don't have to go super long tonight. So I'm good with calling it here. If you guys are good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah,
that was great.
All right. No, this was fun, especially for our first time with the doing a full teams thing and on our own without somebody helping us out and recording for us. I think we're in good shape tonight, guys.
Yeah.
Thank God.
All right.
BJ, no more PTO.
No more PTO and no more technical snafus, hopefully.
Yeah, look, wherever you are on Thursday, you got to do remote, man. We'll
figure it in. I have to work remotely from my cruise as I'm drinking alcohol and listening to rock bands. That's going to be great.
Yes.
All right, let's get out of here. I'm going to go back around the room here and thank my co-host like I always do. Jason, sir, this was a lot of fun tonight.
I had a blast, and I'm glad that you're back. And I'm glad that the three of us could do this because I love doing this with you guys. So thank you, and thank you, the listener, for indulging our silliness.
Yep. And the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, sir, fun night tonight. I'm glad to be back with you guys.
Yes, and again, we're so happy to have you back. And so we're not like, using tin cans and string anymore to do that.
We were the third world wrestling podcast last weekend, and it was all my fault.
So look, because this week we've been using like smoke signals or something this week. I mean, we did it again.
God. But now what's the streak at now?
Oh God, this is episode 245.
You know, 245 uninterrupted.
Yeah, because even if I can't make a week or Jason can't make a week, if nothing else, Rob has been 245 episodes strong, and actually longer than that, because I think I started counting the episodes after Jason first came on board, and Rob and I were doing it for 3 or 4 months before that.
Yep.
So yeah, Rob's probably,
the streak continues, gentlemen.
It does. Yes. It does. Good work. Good job, you, the listeners. Thank you as always for supporting us. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.